All right, everybody, welcome back to the Something About Soccer podcast, episode 12. And as you may notice, there's one more of us this week. And we got something special. We did Club World Cup the last 2 weeks, so we're moving on to another competition happening here in North America. And Biz is going to be the one to intro it because, you know what? He's just better explaining
it. It intimidates Dill. He's just, he doesn't want to be transparent enough.
Right from the start. All right.
It's like any pronunciation, you just toss it into Biz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was afraid. It's all right. I'll say it.
That's fair.
All right. Well, yeah, like Dill said, we do have a very special guest for this episode. So we have staff writer for Urban Pitch and also a poster and contributor to the Leagues Cup itself, which will be what our episode is going to be featuring this episode number 12. Fabian Rankle. Am I saying the last name correctly? I wanted to ask you that too. I probably should have clarified that before we went live. But Fabian, welcome, man. We're really happy to have you, and we appreciate you stopping in and being a part of things. So yeah, the applause. All right,
there you go. I wanted to start something.
But I know we kind of did our own personal intros just to kind of get introduced and acquainted. But Fabian, if you could give us a little bit about yourself and just to the audience, just to let us know where you're coming from, and then you know, we can dive it. We'll just dive right into the Leagues Cup and all of that stuff.
Yeah, look, I grew up in the Bay Area of California, San Francisco, San Jose area. For all those who aren't too familiar with the Bay Area, Silicon Valley around there. But I grew up a San Jose Earthquakes fan, went 12 years to all their games. They packed up and left, and then they came back. I'm a problem child of the first Quakes organization to leave. And then they went and won two MLS Cups as the Zombie Quakes, as those Houston Dynamo guys over there. Grew up Chris Swanolowski, if you guys know, maybe not the best USM, not the best USMNT striker, but definitely an MLS GOAT.
Yeah,
a streets won't forget player is what we call it around here. Absolutely, a streets won't forget player for sure.
but what made us all fall in love with his story is he started out at D2 in college for Chico State out here in California, and then reached the pinnacle. Reached the pinnacle of soccer in America. So. He's kind of like a Kai Kamara type of guy. Just a couple more goals than Kai, but definitely a living legend. Every time I have a chance to talk to him and his daughters, it's always a great time. But the way I started, you know, being a journalist was I was a podcaster on the Teutonic Takes podcast. It was during COVID. We started talking about the Earthquakes and the MLS's back tourney. I don't know if there's any out here.
Speaking of the streets, won't forget. Oh my God. Yeah.
Disney
MLS cinema right there.
We started off with that. And then I started getting invited to the press conferences because we had Matias Almeida and he spoke Spanish and I'm Uruguayan. So I was able to understand him and be able to understand the tone and explain it to the American audience, which is something that they struggle with even till today. I was on a press conference with Pochettino, and man, oh man, that guy just needs to talk Spanish because his English doesn't come out the way it should. And I think I was out there translating, and I was like, dude, he needs to talk in Spanish because this is kind of crazy. It's not landing the same way because in that type of dialect, it's very romanticized. The sport, you know, the South Americans, even when Messi talks, he talks pretty romanticizing of the game. And it's something that gets lost in a bit of the American game. Then I got a gig for writing, and then I started to write for all the teams in the MLS. And then I went to a lot of big events, and I met, you know, a lot of big players in the American media cycle. And I was luckily enough able to work for Sports Illustrated and provide them with news and content. And now I find myself with Urban Pitch, which is connected to One Football, if you guys have some fans of that website as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's what we like to hear. Moving on up in the world is what is how I would describe that. So that congrats on the success and moving up to Urban Pitch. That is awesome. But I think the biggest thing that we want to cover throughout the course of this podcast, we have a few different ideas for our audience and for anybody that might be new and following. And if you're interested just in something about Leagues Cup, because that's probably what the search is going to be under for both our YouTube. If you're kind of looking through on Spotify or any of the other podcasting links, it would be more a matter of what the heck is Leagues Cup? It's this new competition. It feels like it changes once every 2 years on like the format and all these different things. Right. So that is still very true to, this point in time with the upcoming version of it with Leagues Cup. So Leagues Cup itself is a combination tournament, and I'll give a little bit of a brief summary before we start getting into actual, you know, debating on, you know, where it stands in the hierarchy of, you know, soccer in the CONCACAF region and all of those goodies that we're sure to, I'm sure, have some different takes on as we go. But basically, the actual concept of Leagues Cup is this: it's going to be pitting Liga MX, the top flight of Mexico, against MLS and all of the American teams. What used to be the full field of American teams, but that has recently changed in the most recent iteration of it. And the reasoning for that has actually been based on what was the initial complaint through, honestly, like the infancy of this tournament with the fixture congestion was a really big complaint for a while. I think on top of it too was the travel for Liga MX squads was another thing that was cited as being a concern and something that I think a lot of people were on the Liga MX side maybe were upset with. if you look through, I think some comments too on the Liga MX side, if you're ever checking their Reddit threads, I don't think they're real thrilled about the competition just in general, but that's maybe a topic for another time. But
what really worked last year that they added in last year was the hub cities.
That's a great point.
Chivas was a hub city in, I believe, Southern California and Northern California. So California, yes, yeah. And then Tigres was in Texas. And if I'm not mistaken, Puebla was somewhere in Florida, but it just helped having less travel. So what's nice about this tournament is that they are listening. So if there is something that, you know, fans do not like and players and coaches, if they voice their opinions, it's definitely going to be heard. And this year three of it, if I'm not mistaken, is something that or year four technically, because they did like a showcase the first year. It's interesting to see because now they listen to trimming the fat off of the bone, right? Mm-hmm. And having only the best teams in MLS play against the best teams in Liga MX, instead of getting DC United versus what was that game versus Montreal in Atlanta, where there was 2,000
minimal attendance. Yeah. The horror story pictures that you're seeing. And and I think that's an awesome segue, honestly, to kind of where we're going, because realistically, the teams that you're seeing participating, I'll make it pretty simple based on what you're actually seeing. So Leagues Cup this go around is going to be the playoff teams from the previous season for MLS, with the exception of some, I think it's Vancouver has been subbed with San Diego is really the only difference. Pretty much what was done with fixture congestion this year was kind of a competition funneling of Champions League, Canadian Championship, US Open Cup, and Leagues Cup. And pretty much, I think the max was two competitions that you could participate in. Obviously, Open Cup and Canadian Championship are going to apply to different teams within the MLS hierarchy, but you can kind of understand that there is, if you want to go on the MLS website, there's like an actual like graph that is a lot easier to decipher than me explaining it and trying to articulate myself. So we'll leave it at that, but that is where you're looking at for this go around. And they're actually formatting it in two league table tournaments where Liga MX is kind of going head to head now. And MLS is going head to head now, and they're going to do the top four on both sides are going to be the ones that are actually making it to like the knockout rounds. So it's a little bit of a different format from last year. And honestly, if you're looking through a lot of the comments online about it, it's funny that I feel like what you said, Fabian, where I feel like things are changing, like the tune is changing on 2024. If you're looking back at the Leagues Cup format with that, there's a lot of complaints. A lot of people like, I don't care about this. And 2025 is like, I actually kind of like this format. So I think that is kind of fun. But that brings me to our first kind of roundtable topic on why is the Leagues Cup so criticized? So Leagues Cup and US Open Cup, I feel like are always mentioned in the same breath. And I feel like a lot of people, when this tournament was first maybe pushed into the forefront by, you know, what is perceived by like Don Garber and the MLS contingent, that it was just kind of this big cash cow that they wanted to have be the forefront and really try to take advantage of all of the maybe the Mexican spectators here, where they'd be able to host Liga MX games here locally, is I think kind of the summary of where I saw it. But
yeah, let me give you a little bit of backstory in this. I grew up in California, and there is probably people listening to this on the West Coast and that can understand. I would never walk out, and this is going to be different for people in England. I would never walk out and see San Jose Earthquake jerseys. What I would walk out and see was Chivas de Guadalajara jerseys, Club America jerseys, Pachuca jerseys, Cruz Azul jerseys. I could tell you at the age of 7 what was a Tigres jersey before I could tell you what a New York Red Bulls jersey was.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's life on the West Coast. And And I tried to really kind of push this narrative because it's the truth. I mean, you grow up, you know, Uruguayan American, Mexican American, people have this affinity towards these Mexican clubs. Like, it hasn't been reached for an MLS club yet. And that's because of generations on generations on generations of families and loving these teams. I mean, Chivas almost has like this subconscious, if you're Mexican, you gotta vote for, you gotta go for it. So when it's San Jose versus Chivas, you better hope you're not Mexican American, because you're going against your own people at that point. But like I said, this tournament on the West Coast is a completely different tournament than it is on the East Coast, or even I will say the South. Texas is the same kind of thing. I bet you anything, you'll see Tigres Monterrey jerseys more than you would see, you know, a Houston jersey growing up, because it just wasn't there, you know. So what I wanted to kind of say that before, kind of why it's so scrutinized, is I actually think this is more of an East Coast versus West Coast type of thing.
Interesting. Okay.
I actually think everybody on the West Coast understands how big of a tournament this is, how big of a within a family kind of tournament this is, because every single, you know, Latin American has a friend that's a Cruz Azul fan, a Chivas fan, a Mexica fan. Shoot, their cousin doesn't get out of their ear about how good of Matias Bogus was for Cruz Azul this year. I can't believe you guys let him go. And you just have to realize how many Liga MX fans there truly is out here in the in the kind of bordering states. So when it's Mazatlan versus DC United in Foxborough in Boston, and there's 5,000 fans, of course it's going to be scrutinized, because they're gonna, in my opinion, they're going to get easy pickings. And this is me not saying because I work for the League's Cup. This is me a fan of soccer on the West Coast, where LAFC plays Club America for a Club World Cup. Every single outlet in Mexico is talking about who Danny Buonga is. And at the end of the day, in my opinion, when you have more competitive games with the league, like Liga MX, that just runs deep in the North California and runs deep in every asado, every carne asada you guys have with family, and America gets brought up and Chivas gets brought up, it's going to make a cultural difference when you play these teams competitively. And I think, personally, I've thought this for many years, that League's Cup is the future for soccer in North America.
Yeah.
And I think, personally, to get a bigger soccer audience, you can go one of two ways. You can make the casual soccer fan, or excuse me, the casual sports fan in America, a soccer fan, which is really hard because, you know, every time LeBron gets a foul called on him, they call him a flopper. and it's not going to help when you're watching Neymar roll around, you know, and the average American's not going to like that because, oh, come on, man. Yeah, you got snapped on, what, a 3-inch metal cleats? That doesn't hurt, you know? I know a couple of 300-pound linemen that just go through it, you know, no problem. But you either go that route, which is tough. It's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Or you can introduce your league to a whole new country that already loves soccer and that already has these affinities to the sport, have cried for the badge, have cried for the game, have remember that one final their team lost and their grandpa telling them, and remember this day because it's only going to hurt like this once, you know. And it's just – it's a lot easier to sell MLS to a population and a fan base that already knows soccer.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't become fans, but, oh, you know, every single America fan knows who Danny Buonga was when he was taking on two defenders and cooking them for the
World Cup. I think that's a great point. Yeah, and, absolutely.
And now – they even submitted a formal offer for Danny Buonga. And MLS being a selling league, any opportunity to show off your players on a big stage or to a new people or to a new population, it's going to bring more eyes to this league indefinitely, right? Yep. And I think a lot of people that are being, you know, anti-League's Cup or this is a cash grab. What is it a cash grab these days? Let's be honest, right? Like,
exactly. Exactly right.
Months ago, found out that there was something under the Europa League. Like, there's a conference league now. Like, everyone's saying this is a cash grab. Like, just invite everybody to Europe. Might as well.
I mean, you know? Champions League at the time when it was first introduced was not a popular idea. You know what I mean? So it's right. Like there's all these different things. But picks, I'll kick it to you really quick, picks too, yeah. Just based off of what Fabian said, because I think it's a really interesting point. And it's actually I appreciate that perspective a lot, because that's not something that I've necessarily, being that I'm so far removed, I'm up here in the cornfields in the Midwest. So that's not to say that we don't have, with our League's Cup fixtures, I do have some of the most fun I've had at games have been the League's Cup. We had, I think it was the last couple of years, we had Toluca here, and it was tons of different supporters. My brother, who works in sales, he had a couple of guys that he's friends with in the warehouse that are Mexican that went and got to see their team, their hometown team that they never thought they would get to see. So it's like there are reasons why this, like you said, and you want to know who they come and watch now all the time? They come and watch Minnesota United all the time because exactly, they thought it was really fun. Exactly. So, but picks, what I would like to ask you then, just based on you being kind of our Eastern Conference and Eastern Coast correspondent, is that something that you see on your end with League's Cup? Is that something that you've noticed with, like, not only the attendance, but just kind of like, you know, maybe the cultural difference, or just kind of like, you know, what's consisting of like cultures, or even just, you know, something as simple as attendance over there?
Yeah, definitely. I think that one of the things is that it's very much true that, you know, everybody that, you know, if you're Hispanic over here, anywhere in the United States, you know, someone who rapidly supports these fans. I think I went in 2018, I saw my team in Colombia Atlético Nacional. We played against Chivas in a friendly, and that stadium was packed for just a friendly. Seeing, you know, that Mexican nationality and that identity that Chivas brings. So it's really interesting when you have those teams come. And I think that something that Fabian mentioned a little bit earlier about the idea of having those hub cities, I think that coupled with some of the, I think that there's four double headers that they're doing. So what they're doing is that they're having those hub cities, but they're also having double headers where it's like some of these games might not have that much pull, but because you have a double header, then you have people who might stay around or some people who might be there for. So one of the examples is, I'm pretty sure it's Montreal is playing against Leon and NYCFC is playing Toluca, or it's something like that in NYCFC in Red Bull's Arena Stadium. And just, you know, the thought of that on a Friday night, just staying and seeing both games is such a big appeal, where it's, you know, it's a perfect thing to do. And I think that the biggest thing is that, you know, you get people who are already Liga MX fans and you're teaching them about the MLS. And the biggest thing is you don't necessarily have to, you know, care about the teams that are playing, but you're still an MLS or Liga MX fan potentially. So I think what the League's Cup does and what it's trying to do especially well this year is that it's pitting both leagues against each other so that you're rooting for the MLS as a whole or the Liga MX as a whole. And I think that one of the most fun that we had this summer was comparing, you know, the global identity of soccer between teams at the Club World Cup. We saw, you know, one of the things that I've never seen in my life is Brazilians and Argentines agreeing over something. And we saw that at the Club World Cup. So it's so just true. Like, you know, few things can unite people. Few
crush the Europeans.
Can unite Americans. Few things can unite Mexicans. But once you start pitting the teams that are from their leagues against each other, I think that it not only helps build knowledge, it helps build, you know, context within fans, but it also helps, you know, with scouting, you know, with offers being made. I think that there's so much coexistence between Liga MX and the MLS, and we're even seeing it in the women's side as well, where they're doing, you know, some one-off games between the winners of the actual league of the NWSL and Liga MX Femenina. So I think that the more and more collaboration that there is between the two leagues, the more and more we're going to just get more fans. The attendance, though, I can't speak too much on things that aren't New York, but I'm going to be going hopefully to the August 1st game, that doubleheader that I just mentioned, and I'll be updating everybody about how that goes, and I'm really looking forward to that, because I think James should be there if he still stays at Leon.
Your boy.
Yeah.
and so basically what I was trying to say was, I mean, we did see attendance at for Chivas Earthquakes for around 60,000 at Levi's Stadium, which is a NFL stadium, right? We saw the LA Galaxy versus Chivas at a sold-out Dignity Health Sports Park. We saw a whole bunch of games that I personally went to Inter Miami Tigres, where it was, you know, in Houston at Energy Stadium, and it was about 45,000 fans, and mostly 90% Tigres. I mean, it was kind of that same Club World Cup vibe that I got when I went to go cover Botafogo versus Seattle this year. And you see Botafogo jerseys all around the touristic parts of Seattle, you know?
Gives people
a different opportunity to come see their, you know, team, or if they're already here, see their team locally against a team in a competitive match, which I'm all for, to be honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Dil, I know me and you have mentioned too in the past with League's Cup, I think like the thing that kind of comes comes up a lot is kind of how this tournament itself, like, almost does it helps kind of glamorize the things that I think me and you both really liked as when we were growing up and where we were dependent on the U.S. men's national team as like our only team that we could support. And I think you kind of made the point when we piggybacked off of that, just based off of proximity with how close some of those League MX teams are on the peninsula down there and what it ends up looking like for the rivalry, because the Mexican national team jerseys that are coming out from things, you know, and pitting that and really kind of preying on that with all of the history that you talked about too, Fabian, where you have all of these things that are historical and have equity over time that's already built in and has historical context for people to like maybe kind of grab onto. Cause I think in sports, that's really a big thing when you're trying to get into it is like, okay, who's good, who's not good. Exactly. Where does all the stand in stature of like the bigger picture of things. Right. And I think MLS being that it's still, I mean, believe it, it's still in its infancy, man. Like, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing that I think people lose a lot. And I always say, when people bring up the whole, like the MLS as a whole, whenever I have somebody trying to wind me up in my Twitch chats where they're saying like, you know, MLS, like Farmers League, MLS, Retirement League, like whatever it is. I'm like, you got to remember, like with the lack of pro rel, all that different stuff, it's like, we're building this league backwards compared to how everyone else has ever built a league in history of the sport. Like it is legitimately, it had to have all of this money heaped on top of it in order to make sure that it remained profitable and had all of these different things that stemmed off of that. And if that fell through, then guess what? The league doesn't exist. It's like, it's not these little things where based on how all of the league systems and all these different things work at the time, it just wasn't probably not going to be feasible. And it took a couple of like things in a domino chain to really break the right way for it to get to where it is now. And, you know, maybe you could argue semantics on, you know, based on how we got to that point. But I really do firmly believe that like, there's a lot of things contextually that are when people kind of start to pile on, whether it's Leagues Cup or MLS or all these different things within the U.S. Federation with our local leagues, I think there's a lot of that that's missing in their arguments, or just when they're, you know, and a lot of it is banter, so it's like you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, I mean, and that kind of brings me to the last point that I want to touch on for this section was just, so where does U.S. Open Cup with Leagues Cup, where does that fit into the fold with this? Because I feel like I said, that's kind of talked about in the same breath a lot of the time. U.S. Open Cup, I feel like, is this thing that now has kind of been like the redheaded stepchild of like MLS, or not MLS, but just like the U.S. Federation all of a sudden with how it's kind of been left out in the cold with certain instances. And I think that in itself, because it has equity, is the thing that maybe, you know, with a historical context, with one of the few things in the States that does have a historical context in the soccer playing field. Is that something, and I'll ask you first, Fabian, is that something that irritates you with how it's being done by the Federation? Is that something that could be done better? Is it something that could be, you know, is it just kind of is what it is and we got to kind of just like take it how it is as fans? What's your perspective on that? Because I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, look, I got a big break starting to write for the U.S. Open Cup, opencup.us. So I know what grassroots soccer is. I mean, I covered it with the Quakes, I covered it with Monterey Bay. I covered it with the Oakland Roots, Sacramento Republic. So I definitely, you know, have been on the boots on the ground, right? And a part of me loves the Open Cup. I mean, I love the Tuesday nights. I'm going to go tomorrow to the Quakes Austin FC game because I just love that tournament and everything it comes. I love the Tuesdays. You know, I love being able to sit anywhere in the stadium because, you know, it's not packed, you know. But but another thing, I'm a realist. I mean, I love the U.S. Open Cup. Do not get me wrong. But I'm not going to pit it against something that I think could help the league MLS grow and soccer in America grow. And I think if you gain the respect of Mexico and Mexican fans, I think MLS doesn't need the average sports fan to like soccer. I think if you truly can get the respect of Mexican fans and let's say Mexican Americans have an MLS team and a Liga MX team now, you gain 50% of an audience overnight if you get respect from the Mexican audience, you know? And it's not even talking about like, you know, like, oh, how do we get this guy that likes Shohei Ohtani to like Denny Belonga, you know, like it, and that's just a path that's way harder. Instead, you can have a guy like, Matias Bogus was from LAFC. Oh, I like Cruz Azul. That's going to be my team now because Bogus is a class player. And that's an easy correlation, right? That idea where you can gain a new fan is just too juicy of an idea to throw away, in my opinion, for the U.S. Open Cup. I like the U.S. Open Cup. Don't get me wrong. But to pit it against something that I think is the future, I don't think is the right move. I'm in the boat where I'm like, well, why not just have them both? Like, what's wrong about having both? Yeah,
I'm in the same field.
Like, keep League's Cup 17 teams because of playoff teams. Perfect. No problem. That's pretty easy to do. But then have every team play in the U.S. Open Cup. Like, let the gaffers or the managers or the coaches make their substitutions. Like, make it so that you can have an MLX Next Pro team come up, wear the number one jersey, not the two, and just play for the main team for one night. And that's totally possible. And that's why I kind of think it's a political thing. I think it's something with the federation because it – yes, we don't want players to play too many games, but as a coach and as a, you know, as a – leader in that locker room, you can say, hey man, sit out this game, you know, like, hey, we're playing against, you know, Omaha. I, you know, Omaha's a great team, but like
Omaha Stray,
you know, don't be messy running out there, you know, and getting hurt, you know. So I think it should be up to the coaches, and I think we should have both.
I agree.
And I get mad at the people that pit it together, and I get mad at the people that say pro rel for MLS, you know, you can't, it won't work for that. That's another topic, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, maybe we'll have you on in the future for that. Yeah, I could. Oh my gosh, I could. We could talk hours about that. But yeah, we've actually done an episode on it when it happened. So I think we frame it in the same. But yeah,
as being a realist, like, League's Cup is gonna help the league. Whether you're a Charlotte fan, whether you're an LAFC fan, whether you're a New York Red Bulls fan, it opens a lot of eyes to the league and the players that are here. Players become more marketable. You get more viewership. You maybe get better TV deals. You get more money influxed. You get maybe more potential buyers for your players. And then you get crazy transfer deals. Like, I mean, I think Chivas paid like $6 million for Kate Cowell, right? Like something would never happen, right? If it wasn't for a good gauge test of this League's Cup. And I think, I think it's a really short-sighted take to put U.S. Open Cup versus League's Cup, in my opinion.
No, I agree. And that kind of naturally brings us into, like, I touched on it a little bit, but the U.S. versus Mexico rivalry that stems from this, because the biggest thing, and I think the long-term question with this is, what is the outlook over time? And I know it's really hard to, you know, kind of shake a crystal ball and automatically know, but where do you, being that you are a correspondent for League's Cup itself, where do you see this tournament going over, like, you know, I can let you pick the allotment of time, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it might look like, because obviously it's an ever evolving kind of portrait of what we're looking at on a year by year basis. I know this, it's kind of locked in place for 2 years, it sounds like, and then they're going to kind of assess after the World Cup. From 2027 is the next time that they're maybe going to redraw the lines and figure it out after the fact. So that would be the next time that we would really have what you were illustrating too, with like U.S. Open Cup having full participation, League's Cup having, you know, potentially full participation again at some point too, maybe. I don't know. But where do you foresee this tournament going in the future?
Yeah, look, if I had to say, like, Let me give a little backstory, a little bit more. It's hard for MLS club or fandoms to fall in love with another MLS club. And I saw that with the Club World Cup. It was really hard for a Nashville fan to cheer on Miami in the Club World Cup. It's something that is really odd to me, or maybe not so odd, but it just seemed like MLS fans really liked their club and their club only. And I almost see it because I'm a national kind of journalist now. I've seen Quakes fans get mad at me for covering the league. You know, I've seen, you know, certain fan bases get mad at me because I'm covering the Galaxy one day and then covering LAFC one day. Or if I'm covering Miami, it's like, man, you always talk about Miami. You know, people are really, really bubble and team oriented in MLS. And it's almost, that is going to be, I think it's because this kind of league and fan base is just so niche that it just became that, right? Like, you'll find Chelsea fans everywhere in England, right? It doesn't matter. And then if Chelsea's out of the Club World Cup, it becomes like maybe they follow some other team, you know, or they're not so happy. They're not, you know, Crystal Palace wins the FA Cup, and they're like, oh, hey, good for, you know, I went for Crystal Palace that day.
Yep.
It wouldn't happen like that in MLS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Inter Miami would be in the US Open Cup final, and they're like, oh, man, I don't want them to win. You know, like, it's almost that, like, a jealousy type of thing, which mm-hmm. which is different from the American soccer fan. So to kind of say that Mexican-US rivalry, I think that's going to take a little bit more time than we think. Because to get an MLS, you know, team that's out of it to follow another one is a bigger, I think, uphill battle than to get a national team kind of idea there. But if I'm the Leagues Cup commissioner, let's say I'm Leagues Cup commissioner today, the first thing I'm doing, and I think this is going to pop this tournament off, is holding to Mexico 1 year right away. Yeah. Get that out of the whole thing where Mexican teams only perform in Mexico. They can't perform over in the States because of travel and all that. You have to have it at least once in Mexico, because once that happens, and if an MLS team wins in Mexico, then it's like, whoa, MLS is a different level. Like, we need to look at Sebastian Berhalter to play for Club America, because this guy is the next big thing. You know? And that will happen, because I would look at all the hate and say, what is this? Is it valid? And I think that's one that's actually really valid. They need to have this tournament at least one time, or maybe every other year in Mexico. And I think that needs to be 100% a thing. Another thing I would do is I would add other Central American teams, because if you're going to have CONCACAF, you know, spots, you're going to have to give everybody a fair chance, in my opinion. You know what? It's Saprissa, you know, from Costa Rica, you know, adding them in, they might get a couple of fans in America. Or, you know what, have them in the tournament for the time that it gets played in Mexico. You know, have some other, you know, Central American teams in this tournament as well. And who knows? You know, maybe you can have one of every of the big five countries in Central America, and then you can add five MLS teams back in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even just look at that Guatemala-USA semifinal. It was a sea of blue. That was awesome to see. So it's like, that's, I feel like that's such a, just such a layup, and I really like
that idea. And the other thing is that you can plan it around the Diasporas. Like, around me, like, I grew up around so many Costa Rican Americans. So if you just had one Saprissa game, one Alajuense game, you know, right here in because even if it, with like the Gold Cup games and all that stuff, the Costa Rican fans show up. So having something and having them represented, where it's, you know, the Red Bulls or NYCFC is playing against their team, you know, how many people aren't going to be driving 3-4 hours just to see that? And we even see it in the Club World Cup now, where we see, you know, there's a huge Brazilian diaspora in Massachusetts, and so many of them drove down to see Palmeiras or Fluminense and stuff like that. So having that opportunity, I think, for a lot more Central Americans and not just the American Americans, is a good way for people to be able to compare and contextualize themselves against MLS teams. And I think that that's one of the biggest thing, where we do have the CONCACAF champions, but it's still, I think that just the more comparison, the better. And I think that the Club World Cup really is, you know, one of the best ways to hammer that point home, is that the most exciting thing for me. I think that a lot of people were criticizing the matchups in some senses, but I love seeing Olsen versus Mamelodi Sundowns, because it's just like two completely
when are you
different
ever gonna
styles.
See that? Culture clash, absolutely.
Exactly. So it's like the idea of, you know, Saprissa is playing in my backyard. You don't think I'm going to be dropping $50, $100, whatever, to go see it if I'm a Costa Rican American? Even if I don't like the team, even if it's a rival team, I go hate watch them, you know, see a couple with my buddies. I think that that's really how you build, you know, build the fans, having them, you know, have a comparison of, hey, I watched the Red Bulls, I know I watched Saprissa, but, you know, the that Red Bulls player really cooked up this Saprissa player that I thought was really good. And I think, like, that probably won't happen. But contextualizing all that stuff is really important, I think. And I think the Champions League, because of, you know, how long it's been existing, that's what we've had, where it's like, oh, we know that, you know, Milan might have, you know, a better European history than, let's say, Arsenal or whatever. And we have those contexts, but that context doesn't really exist in the CONCACAF Champions. So the only thing we can do is create more history by, I guess, having more games, in a sense.
And now this is a little bit of a time to put your metal, you know, tinfoil hat on.
I like that.
Let's be the ones to initiate this CONMEBOL CONCACAF kind of friendship. Let's invite a team from Argentina. Let's invite from Uruguay to compete in Leagues Cup as well. And let's see if this thing could get us into Libertadores. Because if we are the one that extend the hands first, you know, now it's on them. They don't want to have us, or you don't want to have Messi. You know, like, that's my whole thing. it's only going to happen if you extend the hand out. And since League Cup isn't technically our CONCACAF champions, we could totally have fun with it. And we totally could. And then it would be a cash grab still, but it would be a really cool one.
It's this unique situation, right? Because it's like you have manufactured this new tournament that like kind of doesn't really have a place yet in the hierarchy of like where we're actually going for. Like all it really provides is Champions League qualification spots. Yeah, if we're talking about it, like in the hierarchy of where it falls in CONCACAF. So it's a really, I love that idea. And I know I kind of jotted it down. Would we ever invite other CONCACAF options, but even expanding that past to anywhere around the world, like doing some random invitees that like might not necessarily be in season at this point interesting.
Like, what if you, I know this is going to be crazy because they did a crazy good, but like, what if you invited a Saudi team?
Yeah, like
on this year, and then you get to see Ronaldo in America in a competitive match.
Yeah,
exactly right.
It's insane how we're okay. This is another topic, but it's insane how we're playing the Liga MX All Stars again when you could have easily invited the Saudi All Stars, and that would have been a way bigger event, you know?
Yeah. So, I definitely agree.
All Stars or the Argentinian All Stars, you know, like they should do some more stuff with that too. But League Cup could be an extension of that.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point too, in like expanding off of that into South America with this, because I think that is like kind of the new question that is looming over MLS, and what I've kind of started to hear, I don't want to call it like the rumor mill, but just started to hear whispers of that on social media and stuff about like, you know, will MLS with the Messi inclusion now, is that something that is possible of like Copa Libertadores down the line in a few years? I think the one thing that we have as an advantage now is how well perceived after the fact, with maybe some negative murmurs out of the gate with the Club World Cup, where people were just kind of, I feel like, being old men shouting at the cloud about it. Like initially, I feel like people really did kind of warm up to the idea, specifically too, because there were some upsets and it didn't seem like the games were necessarily like just these trivial, like, oh, Europe swept and now it's a top four European final. It's like Fluminense is still in, man. Like they're still going and they played really well. And it's like, on top of that too, it's like you had Inter Miami make it through the round of 16 to the round of 16. You had Palmeiras make it into the round. And so it's like there were teams that like held the, you know, kind of they've punched back, like, which was really cool to see. So I think that having success over time too, it's, we're seeing all these tournaments now all of a sudden, and like you said, cash grab in quotations, but it's like, if they start to make money and FIFA sees, like, if they get the dollar bill signs in their eyes or the euro signs in their eyes, it's like, I don't think they really care. It doesn't matter. So it's it's one of those things where it's a vengeance. They're going to come with it with a vengeance, right?
If you have Al Nassr playing in LA and it's Ronaldo versus the Galaxy, I don't think anybody would care if it's labeled a crash grab or if it's not pro rel in MLS. They're going to go see Ronaldo in the United States. Like, what are we talking about here?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, when you were mentioning earlier how you walk out in San Jose and you see all these Mexican league jerseys, when I walk out in LA, it's Man City and Real Madrid. And, you know, it's like, there's, you don't get it. But I will say, and this has kind of opened my eyes to it a bit, because, you know, I'd been to LA Galaxy games when I was younger, but I was able to go to Monterey, Urawa, Red Diamonds at Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. And just the amount of Monterey fans and the vibe that it was, how fun it was. Like, my, you know, I'm half Asian, so I was, you know, cheering for Urawa, and my wife was cheering for Monterey because the vibe was so good. And I was like Arthur fisting. I was like, dude, why are you cheering for this? Come on, you're betraying half of my nationality here. But I got it. I get it. It was so fun. It was funny hearing the guy behind me every time Sergio Ramos touched the ball or just breathed, he would say, my goat. I was like, this is crazy. But I liked it. I liked the vibe. So I totally understand.
The other big thing is that Monterey just had a really, really good showing in terms of, like, you know, they didn't really, you know, let anyone down in the sense of how much they were able to represent North America in a sense, even compared to some South Americans that kind of weren't able to do as much in Boca Juniors tying against Auckland. I think that Monterey, I don't think, would have been able to do that. I think Sergio Ramos wouldn't have let it happen.
He wills it.
I think that those cases of like, you know, we already talked about the Club World Cup, but cases like that make an argument where it's like, hey, Monterrey's doing really well. They did better than some Libertadores sides, you know. Why aren't we in here? Why aren't we making this conversation? Why aren't we opening up this dialogue? So I think that the League's Cup expanding that and trying out with some different teams, I think, would be really good. And I think that, you know, Monterrey had a really good showing this Club World Cup. And it'd be really interesting to see also, you know, this League's Cup, how they're going to be comparing against some other MLS sides.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to change the format, it feels like every 2 years, this is the time to experiment with these tinfoil hat ideas. Like,
exactly.
I don't necessarily think the word cash grab is a bad thing if the product at the end of the day is something good and entertaining. Mm. Like, I feel like people are so keyed in on the Club World Cup's attendance numbers, but the games were, I think, really, really fun. Like, these are matchups that, you know, and I think are so great for an American audience to kind of open their eyes up. You know, I think European teams and South American teams found a lot of new American fans, and maybe, you know, that can trickle into the MLS. But yeah, there's a lot of things that I could say in regards to like what you said about MLS fans not supporting other teams. I feel like we're so a lot of MLS fans, because the sport is so niche in a weird way, because it's so new, is like they're so gatekeepy with their own team. It's like they don't want anyone to like know how good their team is, but they want to brag about it and not support another team. It's like, but I don't know, I feel mixed. It's like I would support other Californian teams, but I feel like I wouldn't, I don't know. Maybe I'm more open-minded about it, but I really don't know.
All we found out with the Club World Cup is Chelsea's really not that powerhouse in America that everybody thought they were. I mean, yeah. Who wants to see Cole Palmer steal Trae Young's celebration, right? Yeah.
He was in Atlanta. He was just trying to play it up. But no, that I think that's a good point. And the one thing I would say, too, for me, that I do think is interesting with that perspective, too, of that you've had experienced that with your, like, kind of your presence in the space, Fabian. Because for me, and maybe I'm just a little bit more of like, I just want to see MLS succeed, and that might be more of a minority perspective in comparison to how people treat the sport. Because realistically, every time I'm watching like a CONCACAF Champions League, for instance, it's like, I just want to see, right now, I just want to see an MLS team win it. I don't, even if it's like, and maybe it's because I'm a Minnesotan and we have like legitimately no direct rivals as well. So like, maybe that has something to do with it for my own personal perspective, but that's kind of how I feel with it too. It's like, I get it maybe a little bit more like in my little echo chamber over here with like Inter Miami, because it's just, I think people are at this point that do follow MLS are starting to just get sick of like the consistent Messi advertisements and stuff like that. So it's like, I kind of understand that, at least. Like, I personally don't feel that way, but it's like, I get where that might start to get a little bit much for people after a while. Mm-hmm. But I also, again, too, just think that you're like being a little short-sighted on how important that man is to the league, that it's like, it's okay if we're seeing four ads during halftime of the game you're watching, because it's like, guess what? It's like, do you know how much exposure he's got in this league? It's like, he deserves probably a couple Michelob Ultra ads to fuel things, you know what I mean? So it's like, but yeah, long story short, I think the last thing I did want to touch on, and I should, before I move on, did anyone have another point? I didn't want to, you know, step on anyone touchdown.
I'm all good.
Their touchdown call before we move on. But I just wanted to see for the actual long-term outlook of the League's Cup. So the last thing that we'll touch on is the thing that I feel like is the other looming and overhanging question with MLS right now, which is what was just voted on was the calendar change. So that obviously got tabled for the time being. It's going to be moved. From what I understand, it was post-World Cup, at least at the soonest, right, is when it's supposed to be. So with that being said, that kind of aligns with what the League's Cup looks like. So what would that calendar change? And you might not necessarily, you know, because it's still ambiguous, we might not have concrete answers to that. But what would that calendar change do for everything that we necessarily just proposed with our tinfoil hats? But on top of it, too, just the actual genuine outlook of the League's Cup in general, because we're going to have to figure out probably a new rough time to host it, or you're still hosting it in the same time, and then you're kind of figuring out how to maybe work the other rest of the league around. Would it affect the format at all? It's like, because this year too, specifically, I do like how they're kind of just getting it a lot of the group stuff out of the way and like kind of blowing some time, and we're kind of helping the fixture congestion in that way. So is that something that this early on, are we able to answer that question, or is that kind of just we're going to have to wait and see?
Yeah, look, if I was the commissioner of MLS, I would, whatever calendar change we do, I would prioritize League's Cup before I prioritize MLS regular season play. Because MLS is already a weird league. You don't play every team. So don't tell me that we need to play 34 games.
Yeah.
In reality, we really don't. Right? We maybe need to play every team in the conference.
Yeah.
But there is some games you could cut out. Like, you really could cut out the intra-league play completely, because you don't play every team anyway. Maybe you do it like the NFL, where you only play like four teams like from another league, and then you kind of you kind of basically have a home and away. So that's what, that's 12.
Well, if you're, I was going to say, if you're on top of it too, just to add on to what you're saying, if you do it expansion to the 32, what of like, at least what's loosely expected, you could even just stick to your own conference and then playoffs is like when you're playing, or you just do some, you know, some off kilter where you're throwing in a non-conference here and there, but it's like, you can trim it down. If it's 16, both sides, you're playing 30 games in total and you're just playing a home and away and you move on. You know what I mean? So you could do it that way too, or you blend in some non-conferences as well. So it's like the, right now, with how it's kind of odds and evens, you'd be looking at like, you know, if you're just doing everybody once, you're probably playing 14 or 15, and then you'd have to figure out the rest and make up the deficit with non-conferences and stuff. So
I think you could cut some games. And
I agree.
I think you should just stop the league for maybe 2 to 3 weeks and play League's Cup. And I think it could be like the Club World Cup. We stopped a little bit, maybe. I think we stopped like at least 1 week, if I'm not mistaken. I think the first games of the group stage.
Yeah, they give them a buffer, I believe. I think you're right. Yeah,
where you could have a little bit of a buffer and try to avoid international breaks as much as possible, because you want at the highest level of soccer being played with the most eyes on the game, right? Mm-hmm. So, I personally think if we're gonna play through international breaks, just stop the league for League's Cup, play through some international breaks, and then you could still have the best of both worlds. Cause again, the main objective of MLS is to get the most eyeballs on it as possible. And I think this is going to sound weird to the European audience, but I value that more than the merit of the game, because the merit is not even there right now. Right? Like, you can win the supporter shield without even playing Miami, you know?
Yeah. And that's a fair point. And with what you're looking at too, with, I mean, that's a team that literally ends up going into the playoffs and then immediately gets bounced by a wild card team. You know what I mean? So it's there is something to be said about that. And I think we're seeing that just in the American sports sphere right now with, you know, how a lot of these leagues are maybe prioritizing, like, maybe we can, like, manufacture a little bit more on the playoff side of things as opposed to playing regular season if we shorten these leagues. Because it's like, look at the NBA, for example. We've used that as, you know, kind of a like-for-like example here in the podcast. And it's, look at all the different injuries that we saw over there with, you know, long-term play through 82 games of an NBA season plus playoffs, and how taxing that is in the body. And you're going to be going without three big-time stars at the start of next year because of that. And, you know, we're even looking in a world where sports science is elite and, like, all of these different things where load management is something that's stressed for a lot of these guys, where it's like you're even taking yourselves out of the regular season games at certain points. It's like MLS is going to get to that certain point, especially when you're seeing with what's going on from an argument of, like, Club World Cup right now, where, I mean, Enzo Maresca was just quoted today. Like, did you guys see that quote?
I saw that, yeah.
he said that he was complaining about how Chelsea had played, like, 60-plus games, and the reporter kind of got him saying, like, well, yeah, but Fluminense has played 70. He's just like shocked by saying that, like, on the complaint train. But it really is, like, around the world right now, it is the almighty dollar is the thing that is ruling this fixture congestion. And it's going to get worse, but I think you're also going to have to try to implement, because all these tournaments are just going to keep becoming a thing if they make money. So it's like you're going to have to figure out ways to counteract that with, you know, roster management, with roster rules, with maybe enforcing player safety through, like, limitations on minutes, like, whatever it is.
Raise the cap. Make it so that you can drop players down to MLS Next Pro and up with as many times as you want.
Yep. Boom, yep.
No problem. Yep. You can have as many games as you want.
Yeah. But all right. So from there, that kind of concludes the League's Cup talk. But we really enjoyed the time, Fabian. I appreciate you doing this. Very gracious of you. I mean, just responded to me reaching out just kind of on a DM. So, but we want to give you an opportunity, obviously, with all the stuff that you are a part of, to just kind of give shout outs so people can follow you if they enjoyed the conversation. So where can people find you, whether it's writing, socials, all that good stuff?
Yeah, you can find me at Fabian Rankel on X, and then I'm on Threads. I'm the last one kicking on Threads. I am Fabian Rankel. You can find me on Instagram and Threads. But yeah, if you ever want some MLS content or content about soccer in America, you can always find it there. I'm usually working for either, like, grassroots soccer out here in California, or I'm working for, like, the biggest tournaments possible, like League's Cup. And then I have some, you know, feature pieces that I sit down with players for Urban Pitch, and I do all that fun stuff. But yeah, you can definitely find me at Fabian Rankel. That's probably the best place to find me.
Before you go, you got anything coming up that you're most excited for? I know, obviously, League's Cup, that's what we talked about, but just anything, really, honestly.
No, I would say Lisa Pup is a big one for me. Sorry about that. But I will have player interviews, you know, all that stuff. Maybe I'm a little numb to it nowadays. I feel
bad. Oh, okay.
I will have some player interviews coming up, hopefully.
All right, cool, man. Well, we appreciate you. It was a really fun conversation. Nice to have another West Coast guy on the pod sometimes. Pix, anything to say before we go?
No, I'm just really excited to, you know, really dig into League's Cup. Like I said, I'm going to be going to hopefully that doubleheader. So expect some pictures and some more content then.
All right, Biz.
Yeah, if you ever make your way to Minnesota covering something, just shoot me a message. We'll,
100%.
We'll catch up. But yeah, I appreciate the time, man. I really do.
Anytime you guys want to have me back on to talk soccer in the United States, I'm down. I'm game.
Awesome. So, definitely. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely keep you in mind for some of the bigger things that pop up during the season.
I feel like there's a whole hour of just tinfoil hat ideas. You got my spin now. Yeah, I like that.
That's the best content right there.
Hey, honestly, you have to do it, you know?
Got to check the line into that Giants hat. But other than that, guys, that's where we will call it. We appreciate you guys. Another week of the Something About Soccer podcast. Again, thank you to Fabian for being our first guest on it. And without further ado, we'll see you in the next one. And other than that, peace.